Hamek Holmes pre-game interview.
For Hamek Holmes, time to go straight to the top, and we are going to do that with the chair of AFL Bowen, Craig Keating, who's standing beside Josh Conway.
Yeah, Craig's been good enough to join us. Craig, welcome back to K-Rock Footy again, mate. It's just good to be, he was saying off here, how good it is just to be back out here and footy and netball back on deck.
How good is it? It's just a really great day, Josh, and please see people out enjoying it again, and hopefully we can get the season away and no more hiccups.
Are you able to just give us, obviously I've got a reasonable idea of the considerations that are in place, but are you able to give the audience a little idea of sort of what were the key things in the mind of the operations team in terms of what was going to happen to this season moving forward after this pause?
Yeah, look, Josh, the overarching thing for us is to maintain the viability and safety of our clubs and their participants, including the volunteers. So that's the primary aim, is to make sure that we care for that, because without footy clubs, we don't have a strong structure. The second part is to be able to comply with the rules of the health authorities, unless the health bureaucrats, and I shouldn't say that, should I? The health authorities and government, to be able to comply with that in a safe manner, which looks after our communities. And also there's the thing that occupies our minds right now that we're back playing, is to make sure that what we have of a season is still has some integrity. And I think the first principle is to make sure everyone plays everybody once. So in terms of the GFL, that's an issue in terms of we've not got there yet. Obviously the Bellarine, that's an easy thing to do with a 10-team comp, but there's some of the things, but it's the fine detail in the government advice from the health bureaucrats. I understand the general community get to see the 15-20 minute, in Dan Andrews' case, 1 hour press conference. But there's reams and reams of reading that takes us a good 24 hours to get our heads around all the detail behind those decisions. So they're the things that we assess, and that's how we've rolled it out.
Craig, thanks for joining us. Can you tell us how much more difficult it is to deal with this situation as opposed to last year when we wanted footy and netball to go ahead, but we just knew in our heart of hearts it was really going to be a battle, whereas with this it's just been so much movement and so many moving parts to it?
Yeah, King, that's a really good question. Last year was actually simpler in a lot of ways because we didn't understand what was going on, but we just knew it was big and we knew that it was going to take some containing. This time around, the messaging's not quite as clear. There's an element of politics filtering through the public discourse around the government's actions of the day, each state government, federal government. There's a lot of blame shifting and blame sharing. So it's actually a little bit harder to predict what the next step's going to be. Whereas last year we had a pretty clear view of what what we needed to happen to make a reasonable season get away. And as it turned out, our call was correct. And this time around, the decision making is perhaps not quite as clear to us as what's going to happen next. And as I said, the fine print is different. Having said that, we know what we can do now. We know what our clubs are capable of, and we have a really good understanding of what the challenges are for our clubs. So having said all that, we think we can make good decisions, but we're never going to please everybody. But we're making decisions that we believe in the best interest of the community and the competition.
You touched on earlier about the Bellarine season, getting everybody to play once is easy. I think 8 rounds down there and they've only got to do it one more time. I'm not sure where that falls, but it won't be too far away. The GFL's a little bit different, and a couple of things I just want to throw at you. Obviously, we've played 6 rounds. This is 7, so this gets the 7th game away of the 11 that each club needs to play. But throwing into that, in a couple of weeks' time, you've got the Pride game, Leopold and Newtown, as part of a round where every club's return game is part of that round. Is that going to factor into your considerations in terms of the draw going forward?
It does a little bit, Kingy. The Pride Cup round is obviously a really important thing for us, and it's a really big feature. It's probably of our feature games and our flagship games, this is one of those. So we want to take care of that, and it's a really important message, and that game's a really important game. Having said that, we have to be mindful that we need to get away that 11 games. So we're confident now, given what we know and given what we expect to happen, that we can get those 11 games and still maintain important rounds like the Pride Cup. But we will be looking for clubs to support us in trying to make sure we can make sure it's an equitable fixture, that we don't have one club with 9 home games and someone else has 6 and all those kinds of things. So we just want it to be as fair. Once we get the 11 rounds away, then it'll be a matter of making sure that all of our clubs are looked after and the footy community gets its fix of footy.
So the earliest you'll get that 11 rounds away, though, is obviously after 12 games, if you're going to leave that fixture as is to fall into that line. Or will you adjust that round and leave Leopold and Newtown as an outlier potentially?
If we have to, that's an option, Kingy. But I'm taking the blue sky optimistic approach that we'll get those games away anyway.
Craig, just around finals, obviously we're closer to them now than ever because we're running out of rounds. But in terms of finals being locked in for grounds and things like that, where are we at with that?
Yeah, look, the expressions of interest from the clubs have come in about who's ready, willing and able to cater for finals. So will that decision be made by the team over the next couple of weeks? It's really important that we can meet all the necessary parameters around access and entry. I suppose COVID adds another layer to that. So some venues are more suited to running a safe event than others. And we also, the fact that there's no AFL draw confirmed beyond this week is a bit disturbing for us because, yeah, you can make decisions that have a really big impact on our clubs without the knowledge of where the AFL season's going to go. So all in all, the finals venues will be decided. Fair to say we're looking at our local venues because of the uncertainty of the ability to use Cadinia Park. So fair to say we'll be looking at the local community venues for all of our finals.
Is that including the grand final?
At this point in time, more than likely. It's a multifaceted issue I need to speak to Cadinia Park Trust around, but there's so much uncertainty around where the AFL are going to play and go and what the reality will be of crowds at those venues as well. So our clubs are better able to handle, say, catering and looking after a crowd at a venue that we play at all the time as against one that we might only use once for the year.
The whiteboard must be very full at AFL Bowen headquarters at the moment with all the scenarios going on down there, Craig. They've done a fair job, the team.
A lot of coloured texters.
Yeah.
Mate, they have done an awesome job. Like, we actually, this time last year, we were meeting probably every day and producing a new scenario and a new plan, and we sort of decided not to do that. And when we did do it, we weren't going to communicate it to clubs until we knew that there was some certainty around that, because clubs were getting bombarded with information every day, and it's a bit like the daily Premier's press conferences. You see so many, you can't remember which was the last one and which was the first one, and whether it's New South Wales or Victoria. So we've tried to rationalise a lot of that stuff, so we've got really clear plans now, so we can manage all that, and that'll be part of the decision-making for our finals venues.
Craig, when do you hope to have that locked away?
I'd like to think before the end of the month.
Okay, so we've got 10 days, 11
yep.
days.
Look, there's a few conditions around that in that some of the venues have some deficiencies in terms of spacing, and there's the issue around running netball and football at the same venue, which is our ideal scenario. So we clearly need to make sure that the venues we select are up to scratch or are able to be modified to meet the demands of our games, netball and football, and also obviously the COVID legacy as well. So we'll see where that sits, but hopefully by the end of the month. If not, it would be certainly within the week or two after that.
There's two big football jobs going in this town. The CEO of the Geelong Football Club is up for grabs, and also the AFL Bowen Region General Manager's role. Have we got any more clarity 8 weeks after we last spoke to you about where things sit?
Given what's transpired in the last couple of weeks, originally the intention was to re-advertise for the Region General Manager's position about now, with a view to going through a strong process again and having someone ready to go in place at the start of the final series. The lockdowns have sort of made a little bit of a difference, so we'll review that. But yeah, it's fair to say we'll probably be doing that advertising in the next month or two, depending on return to footy is the key thing here. We don't want to be muddying the waters with a new recruitment strategy. And then we might get in before Geelong get in with their CEO appointment, perhaps.
Yeah, very good. David Wilder, the president of Drysdale, was very vocal in the Geelong Advertiser about the decision not to play last weekend. I know there are parameters in place in regards, or rules in place in your handbook in regards to commentary that you guys don't see fit. Has David Wilder been censured at all by AFL Bowen?
We haven't met as a group since then. My view is that we need to take more care about how we send our message to our communities, and that's clubs, leagues and the commission. So we might have a discussion around that. I don't think there's anything malicious or anything particularly derogatory about his comments. They were pertinent, but perhaps not founded on the amount of knowledge that some of the rest of us might have had making that call. And that's what I was talking about before, about the fine print behind the government announcements. But having said that, we'll certainly have to be having a chat about that over the next couple of weeks. But it's not going to be a major thing that occupies my mind. And it's probably not the worst thing. One of my decisions has been called over the journey, so I can probably live with it.
Yep. Did you get any feedback from other leagues that played last week? And I know you've got some connections down to the Hampton region. Have you spoken to anybody from that neck of the woods about how it all went for them?
Yeah, look, they said it went off really well. They were a bit coy about where they actually counted the number of heads at the venue, but the venues were locked, and they did have a couple of the competitions. I think Bendigo and Warrnambool both had a police view or walkthrough of the place to make sure everything was above board. They had to put up some temporary fencing, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, look, it went off okay. Our venues are a totally different kettle of fish. Like, we couldn't have locked up some of our venues. And our participation with the level of netball and football and the proximity of the players, the advice was that the venue included football and netball if it had the same entrance and the same car park. So that basically meant that the 150 participants, we wouldn't have had anyone to coach the teams or be timekeepers or anything like that. So I think different leagues have different setups and their grounds are set up differently. I know in the Western District they're all fenced, or the majority of fenced are able to be locked off, whereas clearly that's not the case here.
It's very uncharted waters that we're navigating at the moment, Craig. You're doing a good job leading the team through those waters. It's a bit murky sometimes. It's a bit choppy, but we're getting there. And hopefully, as you said, we can get through the rest of this season unfettered and get to a grand final in the GFL, especially on Saturday, September, I think 19th is the date off
that'll
the top
of head. Me, well, that'll do me, Kingy. That'll do me, yep. Yeah. And if we can get that away, we'll be really proud of what we've been able to achieve. It's never going to be perfect, and sometimes you might be overly cautious, but I'd rather be overly cautious and miss perhaps a small opportunity than be a bit gung-ho and stuff it up. So that's my view.
Yeah, well done. Great to talk to you, Craig. I really appreciate you coming out and giving us some of your time this afternoon, and look forward to talking to you in another round of the finals.
Good calling, guys.
Thanks, Craig. Craig Keating, the AFL Barwon Chair, joining us. Thanks to Harmac Homes. Harmac Homes' latest double-story design, the Monarch 1227. It includes double glazing, floor coverings and driveway. It's only $294,000 and is limited to the first 10 Geelong builds only. Terms and conditions apply.
The Harmac Homes pre-game interview.